Look at somebody said, and look at someone. I know it's not polite to point, but just point at someone. Point at someone and just hear my voice. I want you to look at someone in the eyes. Look at somebody in the eyes. And say, neighbor, I am so glad that I am free. Now say, whom the Son has set free is free indeed, and that be me.
Amen.
What you need, Pastor?
No, I'm good.
What, would you look for your notes?
No, I'm good.
Oh, okay. Amen. Praise God. So this is part two from this morning, and we're going to go back to the beginning, how to remain in the arena of faith. And now the arena of faith is, if you think of arena, it's where gladiators, they go to fight, you know, and you can see that more in the apostle days. You know, they had big, large arenas, and our arenas today, their fight is different. It's NFL and basketball and soccer. That's the arena that we have today. But back then, their arenas was gladiators. Now, check this out. And when the gladiators were thrown into the ring to fight, that's all they did. They were trained. They ate. They had to buff their bodies, be in shape, because they had to go out there to put on a performance for the people. But this is the clinchers. This wasn't WWF or WWE. You know, it wasn't no Hulk Hogan. What you gonna do? It wasn't none of that. The gladiators back then, their fight was the fight to death. So they had to be trained. They had to be disciplined. They had to be on point. They had to be skillful in swinging the sword and protecting themselves. Cause one swipe and they not getting up. It was the fight to the death. Amen. That was their arena. And so me, you know, I grew up in a small black Pentecostal church, and I saw the life of faith demonstrated in my elders and my parents and everyone. They had to believe God for everything. And so when I got to Rhema, let's pull it up right there. Reverend Hagin, and I tell you, look, you can Google him, Kenneth E. Hagin. He was given up to die. I tell you a little bit about his testimony. At an early age, he came down with an incurable disease, and by the age of 14, he was bedfast. The doctors gave him up to die. The doctors said to him, they came in his room one day and said, listen, if you didn't have a bad heart, if you didn't have the paralysis, just this blood disease alone proved to be fatal. Be ready to die at the age of 14. Amen. He had the death sentence. They said that we found three other people working on your case, and they all died at an early age. And we're working on your case, but don't look like you're coming out alive. And so long story short, he got his Bible out, Mark 11, and he started from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And before he opened his Bible, he promised to God, he said, Lord, when I open up your word, he said, I promise you, once I see it and understand it, I'm going to believe your word no matter what. And so he said, and he told the Lord, he said, Father, he said, as far as spiritually concerned, I'm ready to go home to be with you because I'm born again, but I have not lived my life yet. And so he began to read Matthew, all of Matthew, and his situation was dire because he died three times on that bed of affliction. He left his body twice, went down to hell, and he said, as he was going down, descending down, he heard a voice. He saw the gates of hell and the flames open up. And he heard a voice spoke out. He didn't know the language, but a voice spoke. And when it spoke, it shook all of hell. And he came back up in his body. And he said he came back on the earth, and we came back into his body. And then the third time he left his body again, and he descended up to go to heaven. And as he was going up into heaven, he said when he got there to the part of heaven that Jesus met him. And Jesus said, go back, go back, Go back. He was at the age of about 15 years old. Go back. Go back to the earth. He said, your work on earth isn't done yet. It's not your time. And then he came back to the earth, came back in his body. But he was still in that situation, that circumstance. He was still paralyzed. His circumstances were so bad, he said that he tried to eat. He wanted to feed himself. So his mother had to give him a spoon because he had lose control of his arm. So when he picked up the food, he would take the food to put in a spoon and put it in his mouth, and he would jig himself in the face. And he was first doing it with a fork, and that's why they gave him a spoon. I'm just showing you his condition that he was in. And he would say it was at times that his body got so cold that his grandmother and his mother, they warmed up bricks, just a bunch of bricks, and put them in newspaper and wrapped it around him to get his temperature down. You know, that was his situation that he was in. And it's like he got through Matthew, got to Mark. When he got to Mark, the 11th chapter, verse 22, it says, have faith in God. And then he read verse 23. Whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Verse 24, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So he said that he laid there on that bed, and he said, Father, you said that whatever thing I desire when I pray, believe that I receive it, and I shall have it. He was given a death sentence from the doctor. The doctor said, nothing we can do. He said, son, stay down the middle of the road and be ready to die. How do you like to have a visit like that? And then he said the priest, his grandmother went to a Methodist church, and she got the pastor to come visit him. And the pastor came visit him, and he said, son, I heard that you're in this condition. He said, and he couldn't talk. He mumbled like that. And he read Mark 11:23, and he was trying to ask the pastor, is this really true? That I can have what's something I desire when I pray, I can have it. But he couldn't get the words out. And so the pastor said to him, well, my son, what song do you want us to sing at your funeral? What hymns you like? What is your favorite song? What would you want us to say at your funeral? Didn't give him no hope. So when he read Mark 11:23, he laid on the bed and he had it out with God. He said, Father, he said, you said in your word, whatsoever thing I desire when I pray, believe I receive it. Now he's in this condition, paralyzed, can't move. And he read that. He didn't have a preacher. He didn't have these ministers to come. He had no television, no word of faith, no nothing. Except Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. And he said, Father. And he said, I desire a well body. If you would come down. See, I traveled with him for a long time, so I know his stories. He said, if you come down from heaven, Jesus, and stood before me as I lay in this bed, paralyzed, in this condition, and said, Kenneth, you don't believe. And if you do, and if you say you do believe, I'm going to take this baseball bat and I'm going to beat you. He said that to the Lord. And he said, Jesus, if you would say that, I would tell you to go ahead and beat me because I do believe. And then the Lord said, you believe as much as you know. So he went back and read Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. Whatsoever things you desire. Listen here. Check this out. Whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. And when he saw that, he said, oh, I see it. He said, I was praying. Then after I prayed, I was touching my body to see if I had it. But he said, the word says, believe I receive it, believe I have it before I receive it. Yeah. 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 See, we believe we have it after we see it or feel it. But Mark 11, 24 says, believe you have it before you see it or feel it. He said, I got it. I believe. He said, so after he said, I believe it, he said he had a habit of feeling his body. Pastor, he said he didn't feel his body no more. I don't need to feel my body because I believe I have it. Now, he was still in the same condition, had the death sentence. Pastor said, get ready. We're going to do your funeral. Doctor said, get ready. We're going to do your funeral. But Mark 11 said, believe that you receive and you shall have it. So one morning when he woke up, the Lord said, now that you believe, well, people, he believed he was well while he was still in that condition. Now that you believe that you are healed, well, people ought to be up 9 o'clock in the morning. He was paralyzed. He was bedridden for over a year and a half. Listen, he said, how does a paralyzed person get up? This was his response. I made the effort. When you believe, when you really believe, you're going to make an effort. When you believe, your faith is going to move your body. It's going to move your mouth. Ah! Some action. It's going to take place when you believe first. Here I am laying in this bed, paralyzed. He said his condition was so bad, sometime he'd blank out. And when he come to, it's 3 days later. And he said, I made the effort. Laying on the bed, he said, I just started moving my foot. He didn't feel anything. From the neck down, had no feelings. He said, I just started doing this, switching myself to the side of the bed. And when he said, I got to the side of the bed, my legs fell off the bed. And he said, I held on to the bedpost because the room was spinning. He hadn't moved so long. And it took him a while to get to that place. So here he is now, holding on to the bedpost, legs dangling, touching the feet, touching the floor. But yet he was still in that condition. And in that condition, he said, after he got himself together, he said, he just had an urge to praise God and make a confession. He said, as he got himself together, he laid there, he stood there on the bedpost, leaning on the bed, no feeling. In the same condition. He said, I want to announce before God, I'm healed. Still in the same condition. I want to announce before Jesus, I'm healed. Still in the same condition. I want to announce before the Holy Spirit, I'm healed. Still in the same condition. I want to announce before the angels, I'm healed. Still in the same condition. I want to announce before the devil, I'm healed. Still in the same condition. And then at that time, he said he only went to church once with his grandmother, and it was a Methodist church. He said he never heard anybody praise the Lord or lift up their hands. But he said he had an urge. So he said he did hear one of the deacons in the church, when the preacher was preaching, he grunted. He went, oh, like that. He said, that's the most he heard in the church. But he said, I had an urge to lift up my hands. So he said, I lift up my hands, held onto the bedpost in the same, say the same condition. There was, say, no change that took place yet. On the outside, but on the inside. Because faith is of the heart. Yeah. We're checking on the outside, but faith is of the heart on the inside. He said, I had an urge to lift my hand in my condition. Say, in my condition. In my circumstances. In this situation that I am in. I can lift my hands by faith, in faith. And he said, I lifted my hands, bedridden. Had one hand lifted, still crippled, no feelings in his whole body. And he said, as I begin to lift my hand, he said, I begin to thank God that I am healed. And he said, as he began to thank God for his healing, he said, it seems like someone took a big bucket of honey and began to pour it on his head. And he felt all of this hot, warm substance just pour down his head. And then it went down to his face and his neck. And then it went down his arms and his limbs, down his body, down his legs until his knees. Someone asked him, what did it feel like? He said, it felt like a million pins sticking me at the same time. His nerves was coming to life. And he said, it went all the way down to the tips of his toes. And then he said, in a few minutes, I was standing in the middle of the room away from the bed with both hands up. I am healed. I wanted to set that up to say that man who not only knew faith, but acted on faith and came off of his deathbed is the same man that made this quote when I got to Rhema as a student. On the count of three, let's read it together. One, two, three. If Satan can keep but if that believer keeps Satan, that's how Brother Hagin came off his deathbed. He kept Satan in the arena of faith. That's where the battle is won or lost. Two arenas. Satan will always try to pull you out of the arena of faith through reasoning and doubt, questioning, maybe, feelings, touching the natural. And when you give into that, you come out of the arena of faith. He went around the world. His name is literally around the world in books and tapes. Hundreds of Bible schools by Rhema, the man who kept Satan in the arena of faith. Amen. So he knew what he was talking about. Let's go here real quick. For time's sake, listen to this morning. If you can, go home and pull it up and listen to this morning because they go together. But for time's sake, real quick, let's go to Mark 6:45 real quick, and I'm get out of here. But are you seeing this so far? That's why I said remain in the arena of faith. Just stay there. Just stay there. Once Brother Hagin got in it, once he saw it and got in it, he never came out. Gave him up to die. Check this out. Mark 6, 45. Immediately he had his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida. I get it. While he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw, talking about Jesus, saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them up or passed them by. Now, for time's sake, I can't go into all this. But I want to say here that this. Now, notice, look at verse 45. I don't know if you can get verse 45. The Lord just prompt me in between service. Check this out. Verse 45. Immediately he had his disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Okay? So Jesus, he got his disciples. He just got finished feeding the 5,000 people, men and everything, the five loaves and two little fish and five loaves of bread. And then he tells his sent all the people away. Then he tells the disciples to go over to the other side. And so as they were going over to the other side, you got to get the morning tape. They came into, it could have been like a typhoon. It was a violent storm that they was in. And the Bible says that while they was in this storm, Jesus was still on the land. And then it says right after that, that he was in the land, that then he saw them. He came out on the water and he was walking. And as he was walking, he saw the disciples in this storm. And we was talking about the three effects of a storm. You got the tailwind, you have the headwind and the side winds. And say something that, and I talked about how the headwind is when the wind push against you, you know, trying to push you back. And that's life. I want to reckon this to life, that the disciples was in a crisis. Even though they were sailors and fishermen, they was in a crisis. You see what I'm saying? And we all experience some kind of crisis in our life. And if you haven't, keep on living, you will. And so they were in a crisis, in a situation. Okay, and the Bible says when they was in this crisis, Jesus was on land. And sometimes you might say, I'm in this situation, but Jesus, don't you care? Where are you? Have you ever said that? I know you never leave me, forsake me, but just reassure me something, you know, and you don't hear nothing. You don't feel nothing, you know. And then so it says that how they was in this crisis there, and you keep that up. And when they was in this crisis, Jesus came walking. Then the next verse say he saw them. Okay, so first he was on land, then he saw them in the crisis, but he didn't do anything or say anything to them. And then the scripture says that when he saw them, he walked by them. Go figure. It dawned on me when we were sitting there between service. He walked by them. And the Bible says that he would have passed them up. He kept walking, would have passed them up. Okay, now the storm, a side wind, is to blow you off course. Circumstances and situations in life are designed to blow you off course. Just in this life, this world, because this world is under a curse. That's why you pull up weeds out of your garden. It's under a curse. The influence of darkness is in this world. Satan is the god of this world. So when things are happening, it happens to throw you off course. Off your assignment. Your call, what God put in your heart. And then a headwind is to slow you down. So they experienced the side wind and the head wind, you know, is to slow you down. So could the Bible said they were straining, effort. They was in a boat. They was trying to obey God, but it was rough. And at time, going through life, believing God, trusting God, doing what the pastor say, it may seem like it's still rough. Doesn't mean you out of the will of God. And then the tailwind.
Come on up here.
No, come on up here, because I can't say like you. He's going to come over here and tell me something. They're going to say, no, you do it. Real quick, come on.
Yeah, so just because he was talking about the tailwind and how it pushes you forward. And in the same way that the wind will keep you back, sometimes Satan wants to push you forward into something too soon, whether it's a relationship or it's a job. And something that you're not ready for spiritually, he'll try to pull you in because he knows that whatever that is, it's going to derail you eventually because you're not patient.
Amen. 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 Good. And so we can see that this is life. This is your situation. I thought I said the Lord woke me up 4 o'clock in the morning. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock. And he gave me this. He said, there's people here that need this. I preach this differently than where I'm preaching this here about Peter getting out the boat. So this is designed for somebody here. If I just came for one person, it's for you. God knows what you're going through. When they was out there in the boat straining, the Bible says Jesus saw them. So just because it doesn't feel like he's with you, he still have his eyes on you. So why, if you have your eyes on me, why are you going to come up to me, smile, wave, and pass me up? Get in the boat, Jesus. Get in the boat with me. Nope. 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 Now go back to verse. The Lord showed me this. Go back to 6:45. Y'all got your dancing clothes on? Whew. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Why? Now check this out. This is the reason why he saw them and passed them up and wouldn't have stopped unless Peter said something. The reason why, even though they was in the storm, a typhoon, they were being tossed and driven. Could have been off course. Why, Jesus, I was saying, like with Pastor. Pastor loved you guys. If that was any of you, he would have jumped in the boat with you and rolled the boat. Come on, guys, let's do it together. That's his love. Jesus didn't do that. Why? Here it is in verse 45. Because he already said before him, get into the boat and go before him to the other side. So when he told them to go to the other side, he didn't care about the storm that they would come against. Can you see this? It's so subtle. When he said, let's go to the other side, he meant let's go to the other side. So when they encounter a storm, that's why he didn't stop. Because he wanted them to trust his word. We're going to the other side, even though we are in a storm. Even though there are tailwinds, side winds, head winds. Jesus was like, what did I say? But the storm, what did I say? But I got blown off course. What did I say? I didn't say get out here and drown. I said, let's go over. Amen. That's why he didn't get in the boat. Because he needed them to trust his word. Can y'all see this? Okay, I can connect. Y'all can connect. If you listen to the first service, I talked a little bit about Peter getting out the boat and what caused Peter to walk on the water. See, you have to put all the pieces together. Was that when Jesus bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. He commanded him to come. He said, command me to come. And Peter said, Jesus, if that's you bid me to come. Jesus said, come. And when when Jesus released his words, Peter's faith was released in his word. Okay? And so once he released his word, his faith in Jesus' word, Peter got out the boat. And what caused Peter to walk. See, because Peter just couldn't walk on the water per se. Because if he could, he could have done it before Jesus got there. And in the storm, he could have just got out the boat and pulled the boat to shore. So he could not do it on his own.
Right.
What caused him to walk on the water? And the Bible says in Hebrews 1:3 that Jesus upholding all things with the word of his power.
Amen.
Get this. So when Jesus said, come, power was released in his word, and his faith was released in the power, and that power held Peter up. Did I say it right? Amen. So anytime you put your faith in the word of God, there's power being released to hold you up. I'm going to close with this real quick. We don't have a faith problem. We have an unbelief problem. The faith is already there. The just shall live by. Without faith, it is impossible to what? We walk by and not by. Amen. So we don't, it's not a faith problem. I wish I had enough faith. That's not the issue. If you're born again, you got born again. By grace are we saved. Through faith. So it's not the faith issue. What clogs it up? This is what the Lord gave me, this image. And I want to show you. I never did this before. There's somebody here that need this. Okay. This bucket represent our spirit, our heart. Faith is of the heart. Okay? So faith is in heart, and our faith comes out of this. And this faith flows. Okay? This is what we use for life. The just shall live by faith. Yeah, hold the mic. Thank you. So it's not a faith issue. It's a unbelief issue. In other words, my unbelief, boom, I can't do it. I needed something stronger. But if this was something strong, okay, this string represents unbelief. I tie it around, and it will clog up my faith. Very simple, okay? Peter, when he got out the boat, all right, the storm was still going. As he was walking to Jesus, he began to look at the storm. When he saw the storm, he began to sink. Okay? He considered the circumstances. That clogs up your flow of faith. Looking at the wrong thing. Unbelief, considering, well, I don't look healed. Well, I don't know if it's going to happen. Another thing that can clog up. So we have unbelief. We have considering the wrong circumstances. Another one is the confession of your faith. What are you saying? So we don't have a faith problem. We have other things clogging up our faith. Take it.